And I'm going to try to explain to you why it's on wheels. Actually, it weighs a little over 60 pounds. And for the next few weeks, you're going to see this backpack a lot. I want to say that, first off, that whenever we have a new year, there's people that come out and they start these New Year's resolutions. And I'm thankful that Brent has already started and failed. And he let us know that right away. Well, I tell you what, many people fail after the very first or a couple of days. Linda and I have a particular two things that we are praying about this year that we want to do and we want to change in our lives. And but anyhow, it's one of those things that towards the end of December and the beginning of January, people start coming up with all these things. They may review their past a year, and they may say, you know, there's some things I like in my last year, and there's some things that I don't like in my last year. And those things that I don't like, I'm going to make an effort then to change them. 2018 can be a whole brand new year. I told you a little bit last week that I believe that we're have an empty canvas. That empty canvas is before us. I think in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see an empty canvas on the back wall back there. And as things happen to us around the church, we're going to start filling that canvas up. At the end of 2018, we're going to be able to look back and see our year in review. Now, if you're on Facebook, they push that on you all the time. Here's what your year in review looked like. Well, that's okay as an individual, but how about as a church? So I can't wait for us to put that up there and us to start putting things on it. Every time somebody joins a church, I want their names written up there. Somebody gets saved, I want their names put up there. We go to youth camp, we go to children's camp, we go to an adult camp. Whatever we do, I want activities and things placed up there. But more than anything else, I want to see our community changed forever and ever because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2018 will definitely be different for this church. Just like every church is waiting for us to make a stand, well, 2018 is no different. And really, truthfully, when we look at resolutions and we look at things, how we would change, we get the idea that it's an easy task to do. Well, for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at something I called losing the weight. Now, don't look at your neighbor. No, I said don't look at your neighbor. This backpack represents some of the things that we collect and carry as we are marching through this world. Now, when I was younger, I would carry this, but it is 60 pounds, and I just can't carry it anymore. And this backpack contains many things. Well, and the very first thing that it would contain is maybe perhaps things I pick up along the way, bad things that I do, maybe some habits that I shouldn't have. And so this tile is going to represent, if you will, one of those bad things. For this particular week, we're going to look at something called guilt. Now, guilt is a natural thing for us, and it's one of those things that's placed upon us. It's part of our nature, if you will. When we've done something wrong, we know we've done something wrong. And that is called guilt. So there's our rocks, and through the weeks, we're going to continue to add rocks up there. And my whole goal is this. My whole goal is that you don't continue to carry it around in your backpack, but instead, you learn what to do, and you give it over to the Lord, and you don't carry that any longer. Now, is guilt good? Well, of course, some guilt is good, because if we've done wrong, then we need to understand that we've done wrong. We need to confess that before the Lord, and then we need to move on. So that's not necessarily what I'm talking about, but today we're going to be in Hebrews chapter number 10. The staff let me know if I was really going to read verses 1 through 25. They were bringing their lunch. So anyhow, I told them, okay, we will not be reading all those verses 1 through 25. So anyhow, they just have their snack lunches with them. But we're going to read a few verses starting in verse number 17. So Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse number 17. If you found that, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Starting in verse number 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly for the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made his footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after the saying, this is the covenant which I make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. And then he adds, and I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for the song service so far. I thank you for the orchestra. I thank you for the singers. I thank you for Bob leading in the music and the worship. Lord, I thank you for the prayer time we've had, and I also thank you, dear God, for the time we've had of just shaking hands. I particularly like the idea of us praying together as a group. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, as we look at this passage and we look at these things that perhaps we pick up along our way, these things that just become so normal for us and so habit-forming, I pray, Father, that you'll just help us today. Let us look at this particular area of guilt. And, Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This year's definitely going to be different for Linda and I. For last year, when this time came around, I was not your pastor last year. I was a member here, but I wasn't a pastor for you this year. So this year's going to be totally different for me, totally different for Linda, and I'm sure for many of you it's going to be the same. We've recently had people who have joined our church, and we're so thankful for you joining. At the same time, this is going to be a different year for you. There is a song that was written by a guy by the name of Joel Hansen, and Sarah Groves wrote it with them, and they sing it together, and the name of the song is called Traveling Light. I'd like to read you just a few of those words. It says, when I was doubled over with the load on my shoulders, was a weight I carried with me every day, crossing miles of frustrations and rivers of raging, picking up stones I found along the way. I staggered and I stumbled down the pathways of trouble. I was hauling those souvenirs of misery. And with each step taken, my back was breaking, till I found the one who took it all from me. And of course, that one who can take it all from us is Jesus Christ. It is normal for us to walk through life and to, if you will, to have be a sinner on a daily basis. It's normal. That's our life. We were created in such a way that God wanted us to have consistent fellowship with him. But then something happened in the Garden of Eden. That was sin. Sin became prevalent, and because of that, our sin nature now is upon us. And our sin nature wars against God. Now, there may be some of you out there who have been Christians for many, many years. Maybe you've been Christian for 40, 50 years, and you have fought all the battles, and you've been through all this, so you kind of understand where I'm going to be talking today. But perhaps maybe you've only been a Christian for a few days. Maybe you've only been a Christian for a few months, or even for a few years. How do you get rid of some of these things that really draw nigh unto you? Now, first off, I want to make sure that you understand, this message today is for Christians. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I'll have a portion for you later, and I'll notify you of that. But right now, I'm speaking to Christians today. We Christians, we should never have guilt on a daily basis. Guilt should drive us to understand that we have done something wrong. Basically, that wrong is sin. Now, sin is the act that causes us to have guilt. And guilt is that item that comes back to tell us, yes, we have in fact sinned. Now, the real key is, what do we do then with guilt? Do we just carry it with us? Do we continue walking forward with it? I've known people who have come up to the altar. They have taken their sins and they placed it upon the altar. And as they get up, they just collect them right again and walk right back to their pew with them. They want to get rid of them, but they just really don't know how. And some of us, maybe some of the sins that are so easily besetting you, that's what Paul says about him, maybe some of those sins that you have, that you've had a hard time getting rid of, I tell you, hang in there. God wants to take them off your shoulders. But you're going to have to confess it before him. And when you confess it, it's not just that, Lord, I've sinned, but Lord, I've sinned and I want you to take these sins away from me. And I want you to take my heart and my soul and my very spirit, and I want you to purge those things from me. I want everything that I do, I want it to be white as snow. I want my body and my testimony before others to be just as clean as it possibly can be, because that's how I can serve you more and greater. In this particular passage, the writer in Hebrews is trying to get us to understand some very important points. And what he's trying to get us to understand is Jesus died for all sins once and for all. Now, I want you to understand that. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he said these words over and over and over and over again. And that is, we are going to sin, but what do we do about that? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he declares. However, God, Jesus Christ, died on a cross, took all your sins upon him. That is the sins that you've committed yesterday and before, the sins that you are going to commit right now, and the sins that you're going to commit in the future. He died for all those sins. And all we have to do is declare that we believe that he died for those and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And now we give those sins back to him. He's covered them with his shed blood, and his blood now covers those sins. When God looks at you and I as a Christian today, he doesn't see a sinner. Instead, he sees somebody who has been brought forward to him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and now stands before him as a joint heir. That's how he sees you. So why do we carry some of our sins with us over and over and over again? The weight, the burden that we have, that we carry, and by the way, I have several that we'll be talking about, but this one on guilt today is really bothering me for some reason because so many people carry guilt with them forever. They've confessed their sins, but they just don't know what to do about it. Merriam-Webster has this definition for guilt. The fact of having committed a breach of conduct, especially violating a law or involving a penalty. Merriam-Webster also says, feelings of deserving blame, especially for imagined offenses or from a sense of inadequacy, or a feeling of deserving blame because of the offenses that I have declared. When a person sins, the guilt of that consequence, if you will, is within them. In Hebrews, the Hebrew children, the concept of guilt is the awareness of having done wrong and is closely related to the concept that the act of doing wrong is sin. So if I'm going to sin, I should then have some sort of guilt. If I, for example, if I'm driving home today and I have evil thoughts upon those people who pulled onto the highway doing 37 miles an hour when I am doing 65 and I have evil thoughts about those people, I need to confess that sin before God. That is a sin because I've wished bad things upon that person. I've confessed this sin to you over and over. Obviously, I am not getting rid of it very well. I don't know what happens to me. I'm a pretty normal guy until I get behind the wheel and somebody does something stupid, and then I have words to say. But let's talk about something really more serious. We all have sin in our life. And some of us have sin that we know is wrong, and we continue to do it. We even may go through trying to justify it and say it's okay. We may even be taking the Bible and saying, okay, I'm going to justify my sin. I'm going to find those verses in here that's going to help me to justify my sin because obviously it's okay with God. That little gnawing in your heart, that's guilt. And that gnawing in your heart is sent there by the Holy Spirit to tell you to confess that sin and don't do it anymore. Confess it. Be done with it. When I look at guilt, I can see people who have carried guilt to such a point where their whole personality changes. They're so consumed that happiness is no longer with them. They've lost the joy of their salvation. They lost the joy about being around other people. Matter of fact, I've seen where guilt in a person that has not been professed, pretty soon they stop coming to church. Because all you people remind them of the sin that they have, and they think you know it. And so they stop. Guilt drives them to a point where now fellowship with other believers is now on the same level as our fellowship with God. You don't confess your sin, your fellowship with God is broken. If you don't do that, then consistently here on this earth, you're going to find that your fellowship then with others is also going to be broken. Guilt is not a good thing if we don't get rid of it. When I look at these verses, there's a couple of things I want to say. First off, that guilt is established when a Christian is inclined to doing sin. That's when we feel it the most. I can't tell you the number of times people have sat across the desk from me and said, I need counseling, and we talk, and we talk, and we talk, and they talk, my joy's not here no more. You know, I think about leaving the church, and they start listing all these reasons. And what it really comes down to is they have guilt they do not want to confess, and they want to keep it, and because of that, it ruins their fellowship with others. I look at them, and my heart breaks, because that's what guilt can do. Unconfessed sin is probably the worst thing that a Christian can have. Unconfessed sin takes us to a point where our relationship with God now is separate. Moving away at a wide and quickly moving separation. And all we have to do to bring that separation to a close is confess that sin before a God who wants to hear our prayers. So what is needed in reconciliation unto God? What is really needed? Well, we need to really reinstate, if you will, our relationship to Him. And if our relationship to Him is right, then all these other things just start falling away. As a matter of fact, the clearer and the closer I become with God, then the less I want to sin. Now, I'm still going to sin, but the less I'm going to want to sin. You see, the real thing for Christianity today is we have these pet sins, and we want to keep those pet sins. And the Holy Spirit starts working on our heart, and we just take those and we say, okay, they're not for you, God. Get out of my life. I don't want to hear about those. I'm a good person. I support my church. I do those kind of things. I'm here for you. But the truth is, we all know what that sin is. You know what that sin is. Do you confess it? If so, gone. But what if we don't confess it? What if we decide we're going to keep that, and this service, we're going to walk out that back door and say, whew, got out of the way, now the preacher can't bother me anymore, and I'm just going to live my life. And during that week, if the Holy Spirit is still nibbling on your heart, I can tell you that's a sure sign that you're a Christian. Because He loves you, and He wants you back. We confess that sin. If we don't confess that sin, we start building up walls all around us more and more because guilt is overtaking us to the point where we have no relationship anymore. And we start building these walls all around us. God doesn't want those there. I'm reminded of one of the Psalms, and it's very touching and very moving, and part of that, part of what's going on here, I just read to you a minute ago in the 51st Psalm. This is Psalm number 32. If you want to turn there, you certainly can, but I want to read a little bit of this psalm. And first off, I want to declare to you that this psalm was written when David was going through great guilt in his life. Through actions that he had made personally, he had a man killed, and he took his wife. It's in 2 Samuel. You could go there and read it, but this is how he felt. These are the things that were stirring in his heart. And he writes these words. He says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sins is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at the time when they may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him, for you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or the mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and a bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are sorrows are the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, for you are upright in heart." How does a man go from being convicted of being a murderer and taking another man's wife to be able to pen these words? Well, it's really quite easy. When I kept my silence, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for a day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of the summer. You ever been to a place where you have a sin in your heart and you know you need to confess it and you just keep it, and you just keep it? The Holy Spirit consistently talks to you about it. Confess this sin. Confess this sin, change, repent. Confess this sin, change, repent. Confess this sin, change, repent. And we say, Just speak to the hand, God. For I will not. I will keep my sin. I will not change. I will not repent. I will keep my sin. And it's almost like you're thumbing your nose at God. David says, when that was happening to me, it was like my whole body was wasting away. Everything that I did was wrong. But he says, I acknowledged my sin to you. Once he decided that it was over, I was not going to do this anymore. When guilt had gotten so rich on his heart and mind, and he says, I must confess that, then he writes these words and he says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Why do we want to stay in a place where your body is wasting away from sin in our life? Compared to the form when he says, praise God, I have great joy. My life is now fulfilled because I have confessed my sin. I no longer have the guilt of that sin. And now I'm living with my Lord and Savior, and we're tight. Why do we want that? I would say in 2018, let's can get rid of all that stuff. Let's put that stuff behind us. Let's say, for example, that this year, I'm going to take my one sin, and y'all know what that is. Y'all know it right now. I can see it in your minds. You know what your sin is. Take that one sin, and I'm going to confess that one, just one, to the Lord today. Just one. Not asking you to clean house yet. I'm not asking you to go into the corners and start sweeping up. I'm not asking you to do that in your mind or in your heart. I'm just saying that one sin that the Holy Spirit's already brought to your mind and heart today, what if we confess that sin before him today? What if we then would say, our hearts are now pure before you, and I have great joy because now my relationship with you is back to where it ought to be. Now, for those of you thinking right now that you can keep your sin and still have a great relationship with God, I want to tell you, you're reading a different translation of the Bible. Because our relationship with God is, he can look on us when we are pure of our sin. Now, God, in the form of Jesus Christ, died for our sins, and our sins are covered. But what are we supposed to do as Christians when we sin? We're supposed to confess them. The Holy Spirit tells us about it. We confess it back to him, and he has great joy over that. Because we are now in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, this is your sin, guilt. This is your sin, and you know what it is, and guilt is driving you crazy. Wouldn't you like to get rid of that today? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Today, I confess my sin. My guilt's gone. Just one thing. Just one thing today. Maybe perhaps then, you and I would get to the place where we really understand what losing really means. Guilt really has several conditions. And I want to just kind of read those to you. Guilt results from intentional sin. Guilt results from unintentional sin that's not confessed. And guilt is an accumulation of sin. Now, all those follow along with this. Brother Bob told me that he almost moved this off the platform just a little bit ago because he didn't know what it was there for, and he tried to lift it. I said, yeah, it's a little heavy, isn't it? This is my sin, Bob. You leave mine alone. This is my bag. My hope is that at the end of all this, I will have confessed all my sins where I can put on this knapsack now and it'd be just light as a feather. But I have to make an if you, I have to try. When I look at this psalm that David preached, if you will, when he signed it to God and he wrote it to him with such love, he was not afraid to declare that he was a sinner. He was not afraid to declare what his sin was, and he was not afraid to declare the result of him declaring that to him. God bring great joy to him. Throughout the Bible, particularly in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4 and verses 7 through 8, it says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Oh, how great it would be in 2018, to be able to get to the place where we confess, start confessing our sins and not keeping them anymore. How great it would be to say, you know what, this pet sin that I've had, that I keep trying to justify in God's eyes, this great sin to have, why would I want to keep on something that would tarnish my relationship with God, or even worse, tarnish my relationship with other Christians, or tarnish my relationship with the unbelievers? Why would I want my life to be one where an unbeliever could look at me and say, well, you don't live a life any different than I do. What do you have? Because certainly your life is exactly the same as mine. Throughout the Bible, there's imputation is spread and said in many different places. Imputation basically means transference of sin. There's the transference of Adam's sin upon mankind. That's an imputation. Another is that of man's sin that was put upon Christ when he died upon the cross. Our sins were placed there. You and I had no part in that. That was all done for us, and all we have to do is accept that. Pretty good deal. There's one other thing, and that is Christ's righteousness that is given upon the believing sinner. We sin every day. I'm a sinner. But I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. My sins covered by his shed blood, sinner. That's what I am today. I'm no better than anybody else. Except for one area, and that is my personal life and my personal confession before him is mine and not yours. You can confess. One of the psalms that David wrote is in the 103rd Psalm. It's a little bit more difficult to read, but let me read it for you. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed the transgressions from us. There's a song out by Casting Crowns, and the name of that song is called East to the West. And these words come from this particular passage. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions. Now, I want to take you on a little geography this morning. If he would have said north to south, you could start out going north, and there will come a point in your life where you will start heading south. You get to the north equator, and then you start going south. But if you go east, you can never go west. If I go east, I continue to go east. I continue to go east. There is no west going east to west. There is no west. I never get there because I am going east. How far then does God say he remembers your sins if you confess those before him? As far as the east is from the west. As far as one nail-scarred hand to the other. The words he wrote are simply interesting. It says, here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake at night. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned, but today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far is the east from the west? Sometimes we confess our sins, we give them over to the Lord, sin starts bringing them to your mind. You didn't really mean it when you confess that sin. You didn't really mean it. And guilt starts rising up in us again. How am I ever going to get rid of this? And pretty soon we fall to the point where we can't. And then before you know it, you're another person who's on the roll of a church and hasn't been there for 30 years. And you say, preacher, that can't be me. I'm going to tell you, yes, it can. What makes us different today as Christians is, do we confess our sins before him? Do we mean it? Do we leave it? Or do we confess our sins before him, put them back in our knapsack, and carry it along this life? Today, the decision's yours. In 2018, do you want to carry that weight today? That sin that is bothering you, that sin that the Holy Spirit just keeps bringing up, is it that important to you today? I would say if you want to go forward in your life in 2018, if you want to be the better Christian than you've ever been, if you want to draw closer to the Lord than you've ever drawn to him, it's more than going to Sunday school and church. It's more than prayer. It is giving God that sin and not taking it back. Confessing it before him. Guilt. Oh, that today we could get rid of that one. As I think about the times in my life where I wanted to keep my sins, I find that every time that I've done that has been a shortcoming on my part because my relationship with God fails. And every time you turn your heart away from him, it gets easier. Holy Spirit convicts you during a service or during a prayer time or during your Bible reading and you don't confess that sin, it's easier the next time to say no. And it's easier the next time and the next time and the next time before pretty soon you become so callous that you no longer hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. My question to you today is, if God has forgiven you your sins, stop allowing Satan to bring him back to your memory. But if you have a sin you need to confess, then confess that sin. Don't hold on to it. Don't keep it. Jesus says, I love you, and I've died for your sins. One scarred hand to another, I took your sins upon me. Oh, Christian, today, 2018 could be a great year. Confess your sins. Don't carry it around with you anymore. And you can take guilt. It's gone. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. This is not one of those really energetic sermons. But Father, it's just true. Father, I pray for us today. I pray for us as a church. I pray for us as a group. I pray, dear God, for the church today that would become more and more triumphant. But the way we become triumphant is by confessing our sin to you and then leaving that behind. Holy Spirit, I'm thankful that you prod my heart, and you prod my mind, and show me where I have mistakes. Show me where my sin is. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me and showing me. Father, today I ask that the Holy Spirit has freedom. I know that you've already been working in people's hearts. I know that. Father, I pray that those who have come to grips with that today will make that decision today, that they'll confess it before you and give it up. Why keep it? Why give it any sort of room in our heart where you have sent the Holy Spirit to be fully engaged? Father, I pray today hearts will be changed. I pray decisions will be made. And we as a church, dear God, we will move forward with guilt in our rear window. Father, I ask these things in thy name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? The altar is open. If God has shown you an area in your heart today, don't go home with it. Profess it today. Build your relationship back with Him. Oh, what joy we can have. Restoring our fellowship, God.